Happy Sunday.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining our program. The name of our program is called Reflections. For the next 30 minutes, we'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible, as well as from a book called Jesus Calling. I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. My name is Jim DeJunis. The content of our program is for the blind and print-impaired audience. And at the end of the program, I'll give you our number. Please give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you on how we can make the program better and more meaningful for you and those you love. Let's begin with prayer. Father, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you as we conclude this month of, as we approach the end of the month of September. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful weather, this new changing season. And Father, we are ready. We're ready for a changing season. We're ready for your changing seasons in our lives. Lord, we ask you to please make these words just leap off the pages, that we may hear them and take action on them. May we live them and share them. Father, we are so thankful for the many blessings and the many challenges given to us. May we always thank you. May we see the good in all things. And Lord, we ask you to continue to pull our hearts towards your Son, Jesus, that we may have that salvation that is promised in your words. Father, as we read today and conclude the Gospel of Matthew, may these words really, really be emblazoned upon our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Thank you for our families, and we thank you for the North Carolina Reading Service and the people that donate their time and money to programs like Reflections and many, many others. We are so thankful for that service. May peace be upon us, those we love, and this world that we live. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sarah Young teaches us this day, there is a mighty battle going on for control of our mind. Heaven and earth intersect in your mind. The tugs of both spheres influence our thinking. I created you with the capacity to experience foretaste of heaven. When you shut out the world and focus on my presence, you can enjoy sitting with me in heavenly realms. This is an incredible privilege reserved for precious ones who belong to me and seek my face. Your greatest strength is your desire to spend time communing with me. As you concentrate on this, my spirit fills your mind with life and peace. The world exerts a downward pull on your thoughts. Media bombard you with greed, lust, and cynicism. When you face these things, pray for protection and discernment. Stay in continual communication with me whenever you walk through the wastelands of this world. Refuse to worry, because this form of worldliness will weigh you down and block awareness of my presence. Stay alert, recognizing the battle being waged against your mind. Look forward to an eternity of strife-free living reserved for you in heaven. Psalm 27:8 teaches us, my heart says to you, seek my face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Romans 8:6, the mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And then 1 John, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, the boastfulness of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Again, that's 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Thank you, Miss Young. Well, as promised last week, we're going to conclude with the Gospel of Matthew this day. Last week, Jesus continued to teach us and really challenged us. He was very, very descript in some of these parables. The one that was, to me, that spoke most to me was when he was calling the Pharisees. And there's a lot of times we could put ourselves Jim's my name, and I say, you know, woe to you, Jim, right? Who, you hypocrite, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Boy, there are many times I am full of greed and self-indulgence. So when I read that, I probably should have asked each of us to kind of put our own name in there when Pharisees or teachers of the law was named. But that really spoke to me. And then, of course, the parable about the master who had talents, and he gave 1 5, 1 2, 1 1, and upon his return, he praised the servants who took their talents and did something positive with them, and of course he punished the one who did not take advantage of the talents he had. Let's learn about the passion, death, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus. Chapter 26. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. And they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him, but not during the feast, they said, or there will be a riot among the people. When Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man named Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he reclined at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why waste this?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. On the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make your preparations to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate this Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it was written, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It will be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. That's a very, very interesting and powerful scene when Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then he did the same thing with the blood. "Take and drink. This is my blood." Jesus wants us to consume him. He wants us to be all in. He wants us not to be left hungry or wanting. He wants us to take it all in. And that's what we're invited to do every single day. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away from me on account of me, for it is written," And the prophecy says, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you in Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I will never. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples did the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he found them sleeping again, because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went back one more time and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Judas said, greeting, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, friend, do what you came for. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword and drew it out and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say that it must happen this way? At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading a rebellion that you have to come here with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has taken place so that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all his disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priest and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they would put him to death, but they could not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do you need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. Then they spit on his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you? Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You are with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I do not know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out of the gateway, where another girl saw him, and said to the people, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I do not know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on him, and he swore to them, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Chapter 27. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, It is against the law to put this back into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it's still called to this day the Field of Blood. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used it to buy a potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Meanwhile, Jesus took before the governor, and the governor asked, it was taken before the governor, and the governor asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, Don't you hear the testimony that they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they handed Jesus over to him. When Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Christ? Pilate asked. And they answered, Crucify him. Why, what crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, Crucify him! When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, Let his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed over to him to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus to the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of Jews, they said. They spit on him, and they took a staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to be crucified. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene whose name was Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him. Above his head they placed the written charge against him, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one at his right hand, the other at his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, You who are coming to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him, and now if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults at him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they thought he was calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. Tombs were broken open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs in Jesus' resurrection. And after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him guarding him saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed it into a new tomb that he had cut out of a rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to the Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, the deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell people that they had been raised from the dead. This last deception would be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make this tomb secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. Chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. While the women were on their way, some guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole them away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated amongst the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Well, that concludes the Gospel of Matthew. And I hope you've really enjoyed the last few weeks as we went through that. We have a little time left here this afternoon. I'll give a little reflection here on the last three chapters that we read, and then we'll read a proverb or two. But there is no greater event in the history of the world than of Jesus' passion, his death, and his resurrection. And it was spoken about thousands of years before it occurred. Many prophets prophesized, not by name, certainly by lineage, certainly by what would occur. Many people believe. There are still some doubters. I know people that are very close to me that are still doubters. It troubles me. I hope that these words encourage you and provide you with a level of confidence and faith and hope that Jesus Christ himself is the Son of Man, that Jesus Christ himself did offer himself up for humanity so that we may have a relationship with God. He is our Savior. He is our Lamb. His blood was used to make us right, right in the eyes of God. And we thank him for that. Let's read a couple proverbs before we conclude the rest of the program. Proverbs, chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles to the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. I repeat verse 7 again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down into the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Thrown in your lot with us, and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread at net in full view of all those birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay themselves only. Such is in the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away their lives and those who get it. Well, we've run out of time for today's program. Thank you for joining us, and I pray that you've gotten something out of the book or the Gospel of Matthew. May God bless you this day and every day, and please join us next week for our program entitled Reflections here at the North Carolina Reading Service. May God bless you and those you love this day and every day.